have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Ann Northrup, and this is not Andy Hum.
I'm not Andy Hum. I'm Kathy Marino Thomas. Thank you so much for welcoming me to here today.
We are, as we sometimes do, we are throwing Kathy into the deep end of the pool. This is her first attempt at co-hosting Gay USA. We're thrilled to have her here. She is a lifelong activist and has been involved with many movements and organizations, particularly in the LGBTQ community, but not entirely. You were a buddy to people with HIV and AIDS.
I was an AIDS buddy. I've been an AIDS buddy. I've worked on marriage equality for 17 years. I am a founding member of Gays Against Guns. Currently, I serve on the board of the Gilbert Baker Foundation, trying to make everyone keep flying our rainbow flag, and the Stonewall Democrats of New York City, of course.
Well, there we have it. You cover the waterfront, which is why we're thrilled to have you here.
Thank you
more
so much
on all of those things later. But let's start with the headlines, and then we can plunge into the news. And, you know, the nation is freaked out about Trump sending the National Guard into Washington, D.C., but we think the real story under the radar a little is the relentless attack on same-sex marriage that's ramping up as Defense Secretary Hegseth is revealing his loyalty to a Christian nationalist pastor who wants women deprived of the vote, homosexuality recriminalized, and men in charge of everything.
If that wasn't enough, Trump continues to undermine institutions like the United Nations and the Smithsonian. Now he's taken official personal control of the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles, threatening to mandate sex testing for all athletes. Be careful what you wish for, Mr. President.
Yeah, there's a little hook to that that could be interesting. Trans military service members, already, you know, mandated for expulsion, are being further cheated and demeaned by the loss of promised benefits.
The Department of Homeland Security is asking the Supreme Court to okay racial profiling to grab people for deportation. That Supreme Court is getting a lot of requests these days.
Yeah, and they're agreeing to most of them. Mm-hmm. And the Trump administration is just shameless in all this stuff. But one little piece of good news, an appeals court says Trump cannot make the government pay the $83 million he owes E. Jean Carroll.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Sherrod Brown will try to make a comeback to the U.S. Senate from Ohio, while Nancy Mace runs for Senate in South Carolina on an anti-trans platform.
She's sharp, that Nancy. She can see what the winning platform is. Mm. A South Korean K-pop star has come out as trans.
A new, raunchy, funny lesbian detective movie, Honey Don't, was big at Cannes and opens in theaters next week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. And the NFL and NBA have had female officials on the court or the field for years, but Major League Baseball just got its first female umpire. All right.
Let's start with Trump.
Marriage. You, as you said, you spent 17 years fighting for marriage equality.
I did.
So I did.
This is a subject I know very well.
Yeah, and I'm very interested to hear what you say about that. So everyone is talking about the fact that Kim Davis, the creep from Kentucky, the clerk, has brought a case to the Supreme Court, an appeal of her loss of the right to reject same-sex couples for marriage licenses. But really, we don't think that her case to the Supreme Court is going to be the one.
Right.
But same-sex marriage is in real trouble in this country.
Absolutely. And Trump is stacking the courts, or trying to stack the courts, with his own appointees, and all of them are against marriage equality.
Yeah. We talked about, and he's got about a dozen appointees awaiting confirmation now, and another 30 openings or something.
47 vacancies,
there
to be exact.
Go.
He has 11 nominees, and they all agree that marriage equality should be on the chopping block.
Well, we talked about the guy in Missouri a week ago, who or a week or two ago, who just got confirmed.
Yeah.
You know, this is we talk about the Senate and the Republicans having control of every branch of government, but this is where it ends up.
Oh,
is,
yes.
There is absolutely no one who will stand up and stop these judges from
That's
being
right.
confirmed. And then they're in charge in all these cases.
That's right.
And Kim Davis may not succeed in her appeal to the Supreme Court. But meanwhile, all these courts are being seeded across the country
right.
with these creeps. And they get asked in their confirmation hearings about Obergefell and marriage equality. And they say, some of them just say, no, I think it's terrible and I would never support that.
Right.
And others say, well, Obergefell is, that's what the Supreme Court decided. And then they leave it at that, and you know where that's headed.
Yes, and you know, I'm not worried about Kim 4 marriages later, Davis, right? But what I am afraid of is the upset that she's causing the community.
Yeah.
And how people are frantic and panicking. I don't think we should do that. What I do think is that we have to be mindful. We have to watch these cases. We have to make sure our wills and our paperwork are all in order.
Yes.
I would like to make a point about wills. You can't just say, I leave everything to my spouse. You have to name your spouse. In my case, it would be I would leave things to Sheila Marino Thomas, not my spouse. This way, if something does happen to marriage and they're no longer your legal spouse, it's still in line of
very good point.
Right? And you should have your paperwork in order. You should have your health care proxy and all of that stuff. Naming and, your spouse.
And kids.
Do your second parent adoption. Don't decide that your marriage license is enough to claim your family. Our families will be on the chopping block as long as these people are in power, and we have to protect our families.
And it could go any number of ways. They could say, they could do what they have done with abortion, where they say it's up to the states to decide. We've been through that. That's
yeah.
how we got marriage in the first place, is state by state.
Right.
And then
but here's the catch.
Yeah.
Here's the catch. If by some chance Obergefell is overturned,
yep.
the Respect for Marriage Act that Biden signed right now, we think will remain in place, and your marriage will have to be respected in all states, right? Except if your state had a ban on marriage equality, that ban will be reenacted. It would come back, right?
Well, when marriage got legalized nationally,
correct.
There were a lot of laws on the books state by state, some constitutional amendments
right.
in states, some just laws
right.
that said no marriage equality, and those were allowed to just
language. And,
yes.
and many on many subjects, when laws are made that are discriminatory and then it gets overturned federally, those state level laws just kind of sit on the books and collect dust, right?
Yes.
But in this case, if it was overturned, it would come back to life. It would be enforceable.
And there are about 30 states where that's true.
Yeah.
And those laws are just sitting there
yeah.
Ready to be revived.
37 states.
Yeah.
We'd have to worry about. However, a caveat to that is if you got married in a pro-marriage state and you went back to that state, your marriage would have to be legalized, respected. But
maybe not in other states.
We think.
Yeah. Well, they could repeal the Respect for Marriage Act.
Correct.
They can do anything they want.
Correct.
Because they have the
Stay votes. Vigilant. Don't panic. Contact
but,
me
so
if you
would
need
you,
more info.
Would you, now, we don't
many,
want,
many people have.
We don't want to force anybody into anything.
No, but I wouldn't worry about Kim Davis. The
no,
point is,
no,
I wouldn't worry
no,
about Kim
no.
Davis.
And would you recommend that people who are considering marriage...
Do it now.
There you go.
Do it now, because the chances are, if you already have a legal marriage, that will remain, but they may stop marriages moving forward. So if you're thinking about it and you have a venue planned and all that, nobody at your wedding is going to know you already got the piece of paper. Just go get it.
Yeah, go to City Hall, and then you can do a party anytime you want.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the context in which all this is happening.
Okay.
Because one of the things that we saw this week that really, we should have known this, but it was a shocker. It became clear that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had reposted something online an interview with his pastor.
A Christian nationalist pastor.
Exactly. Doug Wilson. That's Doug Wilson on the left there in that picture. And, of course, Pete Hegseth on the right. Now, sometimes these crazies come along, and I don't hesitate to say that. And someone like Pete Hegseth in a position of power will simply say, oh, well, you know, that's what he says, but I, whatever. No, Pete Hegseth has repeatedly said that he supports what this guy says. He's a member of his church. His kids go to this church. He is totally on board with this guy. And what this guy says is women should...
I love this. Go ahead, Anne.
Women should be denied the right to vote. Households should get one vote.
Right.
And that should be the man's vote,
right.
Assuming you have a heterosexual
right.
household. Certainly not if two gay men are married. No, forget that. Homosexuality should be recriminalized. Slavery was a good thing. A lot of the slave owners,
it's amazing,
and slaves,
huh?
They got along.
It's so great. So great, Doug Wilson. We love
yeah.
you.
Let's see what else.
Listen, there's a church this right now. In this moment, there's a separation of church and state in this country. We have to lean into that.
Doug Wilson wants the United States to be a Christian theocracy. He's
right.
very overt about that.
Right.
He says it out loud, and that's what they're after. And people like Pete Hegseth, who have such positions of power, are in a position to spread this. We sort of half-joked about Trump instituting the Handmaid's Tale when he took office. They're not kidding about this.
No, they're not. And if Hegseth has his way, we would be all ordering white robes, red robes with a white hat anytime soon.
Doug yep. Wilson says, in terms of the subject of whether women should have the vote, he says, well, you know, women are the people that people come out of. And therefore,
so
shouldn't
bizarre.
Have the vote.
Oh, my God.
We laugh because otherwise we're going to have to start throwing bombs or something.
Do you see how, I don't even know I don't have words for that. And then we move on to the NBA, to the WNBA, speaking of not having words for that, misogyny and the role of women in this world.
Yeah, you might think that we would put this in sports, but really this is about misogyny. And
this is
about the... The NBA, you've read about these green dildos being thrown on the court. There's one. I don't think we are forbidden to show that. And at first people thought, oh, what's that about? That's funny. And then it turns out that it is a couple of things. First of all, it is misogyny.
Oh,
it
absolutely.
Is about,
outright.
You don't see anyone throwing things like that on the NBA courts. It is a comment on the power of women being threatening to men.
Yep.
And it's also part of some crypto scheme.
It is. But this guy cracks me up because he shows up there in a Beavis and Butthead t-shirt, first
yes.
of all.
Yes.
You can't make this up. And then he can't throw.
Well, I'd say he throws like a girl, but of course that's the opposite
of what we're trying to get at
yes.
here. Exactly.
Yes.
He can't throw. He hits a 12-year-old girl.
Yep.
Freaks her out.
Yep.
Crazy.
And the security guards are not screening for stalkers.
No, they're not.
Around the leagues. Stalking has become a really big deal against athletes, and particularly against WNBA
and women athletes.
Players. Yes. And the security guards are not going after anybody.
Well, you know, we're only supposed to push people out. We're not supposed to be sports stars. We're not supposed to be politicians.
Oh, that's right.
We're supposed
people
to stay home and have babies. That's it.
Have people. We're
yes.
supposed to have people.
Yes, we're supposed to have people. It's the place people come out of.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Doug Wilson. I'll be using that forever.
Yes. All right. So there's that. And then you have someone like Corey Mills, a representative from Florida, who is escaping prosecution while being accused by a girlfriend and another girlfriend of physically abusing them. And one of them, the first one, this came to light because the first one was complaining about his abuse and his violating ethics laws and whatever, and that when she complained publicly about him, he was threatening revenge porn. He was going to put pictures of right. sex or nakedness or something online. And then it turned out he'd been physically abusing this other girlfriend. But none of this, and violating congressional ethics laws in doing all this.
Oh, they still have congressional ethics laws?
Sort of.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but no one's prosecuting him or coming after him.
No, but I would speak to women and I would say, don't let them take a picture of you.
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
although I think some of it is secret cameras.
Maybe that's true.
I would say, you know, be a little more careful about who you go out with.
Right.
Leave these guys alone.
Yeah.
And then there's the guy in Utah.
Oh my gosh, this guy.
State Senator Jay Stewart. This is all under the heading of men behaving really, really,
really,
really
badly.
Jay Stewart Adams, Republican member of the state Senate in Utah. He's a Senate leader, and he's known for saying trans people put trans women put girls at risk. So what did he do? He finessed a lighter sentence for a relative of his, an 18-year-old boy, who raped a 13-year-old girl.
A 13-year-old girl. I never heard of a trans woman doing that.
No, and, well, you know, I don't want to make blanket statements about anyone, but the hypocrisy, the blindness, the idiocy of an elected political leader condemning trans women for something he's never seen happen, and then helping his relative exonerated for rape.
That's the bait and switch that they do.
Yeah.
They, you know, they're doing something bad over here. They drag the trans community back down, and they put the focus there.
Yeah.
On a community that is so small.
Yep. Well, it is disgusting.
I'm disgusted by this guy.
We're disgusted.
We are disgusted. Yes, we are.
We're also disgusted.
Speaking of disgust.
Yes. Tammy Bruce
to the UN. Long career in Fox News. Parlayed that into a position with the Trump administration.
She used to be a liberal Democrat lesbian in L.A. She had a talk show, whatever, and she flipped.
I didn't know that.
Yes, she flipped to being a Trumpist MAGA person.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so now she's been working at the State Department as the press secretary.
Right.
And has now been appointed to the UN as a deputy ambassador. So she's standing behind the podium as press secretary at the State Department. And she's asked about Hungary and the government trying to stop the Pride Parade in Budapest. And here's what Tammy Bruce had to say.
The president tried to ban a pride parade this weekend. Tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people came out. Does the U.S. have a view on that? Do you think that it's justified to ban an LGBTQ pride parade?
Well, you know, when the vice president or any of us speak about the nature of policy or I think what's important regarding freedom of expression, that's our plan and what we feel is important to convey, and then what countries do is their business. Events happen all over the world, as we know, every day, which the United States has no comment about. We have nothing to add on this matter. Again, I think it's about what what countries do, the choices they make with their nations, and what citizens do and how they respond to that.
Wow. Events happen all over the
world.
All
over the world. It's amazing. Every day. That was
And this is a president who
avoidance.
Has supported Viktor Orban as the president of Hungary very overtly, condemned Brazil for prosecuting Bolsonaro.
Yep.
Every day he comments on everything all over the world. In fact, he wanted to send his troops into Mexico to get the cartel leaders. He blackmails people all over the world with threats.
But we don't have anything to say.
We have no comment.
We have no
comment about the Pride Parade in
Somehow
Budapest.
In her mind, she thought that would benefit them having that position.
Well, yeah.
It's a suck up. That's what we got. But speaking of Trump and his appointments,
yep.
Scott Bessent.
Bessent.
Oh, see, I did it wrong three times today. Okay. Treasury Secretary.
Yeah.
Now he's going to oversee the IRS.
That's right, because, you know.
Sixth person.
Well, Trump has been getting rid of a lot of the people he appointed very shortly after they were appointed. And this is that guy Long, who had been in office for about 2 months and was a total bad and stupid person. Mm. And so now Scott Bessent is in charge of the IRS as well as the Treasury.
But Trump moved long to be the ambassador to Iceland. Gorgeous.
I guess there's no ultimate failing.
Soon the Smithsonian will be completely whitewashed.
Well, let's talk about the Smithsonian because it just makes me cry what he's doing to the Smithsonian and American history in general. And really, I think we first saw this with what he did to the Stonewall National Monument.
Yep.
And wiping out first
the trans. Now he took the bi people off there,
yes,
too.
And he has, his ambition has grown, and now he's taking the entire Smithsonian Institute,
yep,
8 museums, and all of them are going to be literally whitewashed.
Whitewashed before the 250th birthday of the country.
Yes, because he wants this to all be about how America is an exceptional country.
Yeah.
Well, I would agree that America is exceptional, but not for the reasons he thinks.
It's exceptional only because it's white in his mind.
Well, in my mind, it's because it's doing really horrible things. And it makes
we have a lot of marriage equality stuff that's been sent to the Smithsonian. I want to ask for it back.
Well, you may have to.
Yeah.
Although, who was it? Someone contacted me and said, oh, that they had made a donation to a university for scholarships and for women. And the university was now saying, you can't designate that like
right.
that. And she said, I want my donation back. And they said, no.
Oh, they'll give it back to me, I'm sure.
I would never try to withhold anything from you,
no.
Kathy.
No, but, you know, it's up to us. It's up to the citizens to keep teaching the history.
Yes, absolutely. And I like to think that we will get through this period, but I have no confidence that is actually true.
Is he going to store the stuff away or is he going to destroy it? This is the question.
Bonfires.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Brown University's settlement with Trump forbids anything other than male and female designations everywhere on the campus.
Everywhere.
It's not, the students thought at first, well, this will just be keeping trans kids out of sports or whatever.
No,
this is campus wide.
Well, don't you think because some of these institutions agreed to keep trans people out of sports that now he's expanding?
Yes, you give a bully a little and he'll just keep going.
He'll take everything.
Yeah.
And speaking of bullies and taking a little, he wants to what? Bring sex testing back to the Olympics.
Oh, this
Love
Olympics
this.
Things. He holds a news conference and he says, I am now in charge of the Olympics. It's all
and the
me.
Kennedy Center.
And the Kennedy
yes.
Center. I am in charge. And then he complains to the press, assembled press, and says, why aren't you clapping for the fact that I got trans athletes out of the Olympics? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then he reiterates that he is keeping trans athletes out. The at the borders, trans athletes will not be allowed into the country. And now he wants all athletes in the Olympics sex tested. But here's the problem. Here's the little twist. If they do that, they're going to turn up a lot of intersex athletes or anomalous hormone levels, testosterone.
I was going to say, people taking hormones for various medical reasons.
Well, but people's natural hormone levels, you know, that was the whole problem with the South African Kester,
I know the
runner,
name, but
yes.
I can't say it. Yeah.
Well, I'll think of it at 3 o'clock this morning. but she is a cis woman who has higher hormone levels than, testosterone levels than a lot of other women. And she's been kept from running because of that. And she's been ordered to lower her levels. And
what she has to do with hormones, which she's not allowed to take.
Yes.
So, you know.
No, but here's the thing. Again, a double standard. Michael Phelps has an extraordinary wingspan of his arms. They're not telling him to chop them down
right.
to equalize opportunity.
It's a man, though. A cis man. A cis white man.
Well, it's just where they draw the line in any of this stuff is very questionable and very hypocritical. All right.
And you want to talk about drawing the line. Let's just talk about him taking over Washington, D.C. for a second.
Okay.
Or maybe more than a second.
Well, maybe only 30 days. Maybe I mean, it's only, all performative. Yeah. You've seen the video of the National Guard troops just strolling around the city doing nothing.
Because there's nothing to do.
Well, they're also, if you're going to go, if you're going to claim that you're going to clean up crime in D.C., go to the high crime areas.
White House?
Yeah. One for Kathy.
I'll tell you what I think it's about. I think it's about the protests that happen every week by the White House. It's not about homeless people in D.C. streets.
No. Well, it's also a distraction, of course, and it's scaring us. It's an attempt to say, you know, the country is going crazy and it's all out of control and I alone can fix it. And so we're going to, you know, bring the military in. And it's all utter nonsense. And he riles up the populace to say, oh, my God, yes, homeless, crime, right, blah, blah, blah. And it's not that those things don't exist. And it's not that we don't want things addressed in that way.
But not militarily.
No.
No.
And
it's important to, it's important to note, though, that he's doing this under something called the Home Rule Act. Right.
Well, because D.C. is a federal area.
Correct. But this act only gives him this power for 30 days. So we're going to see what happens at the end of 30 days.
You know, I was watching, you'll hate this, I watch Morning Joe in the mornings.
I kind of do hate it, but it's all right.
But
I'm going to say you do it for benefit of this show.
I do. And, you know, a lot of it I hate and some of it I like, but it's newsier than any of the other morning shows, where I used to work, by the way. But Joe Scarborough is on this thing of, you can't be talking about defund the police, and why wouldn't you send the National Guard into these hellholes? And he's arguing with Simone Sanders about this, who's trying to push back, but he's so... And I want to say, look, Joe, we all agree we want homelessness, crime, whatever. But you have to understand our point of view on the police. I have stood there and watched the police attack peaceful demonstrators with tear gas, batons, pushing people off bicycles. They are, some of them, vicious, violent people who hate demonstrators and lose control around them. So do I want good policing? Sure, of course. But we have to see each other's point of view, and you are not seeing the point of view of those who have been viciously assaulted by the police.
Very SS-like.
Well, it just is frustrating. So someday I want to go on that show and say, look, you're wrong about this, you're wrong about that. You're wrong.
Oh, I would love that. Would be a show I would watch. Absolutely.
Exactly.
But there is some good news in Trump land. He did lose his bid to make the federal government pay E. Jean Carroll.
Yes, he's been trying that for months now, or ever since he got assessed an $83 million penalty, and he wants the Department of Justice to pay it. I've lost track of why, but the court said no.
Well, the only reason they said no is because he waited too long.
Well, fine. I'll take any port in a storm.
But it's important to know that if he hadn't waited too long, they would have considered it, and I think that's kind of gross. But,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Check in with Project 2025.
Ooh.
I didn't know until this week that there is such a thing as a Project 2025 tracker. You can probably look this up online.
Yeah.
And what we've heard is that they have a list of 18 anti-LGBTQ goals in the Project 2025 1,000-page plan.
That's right.
And the tracker is keeping track of what's up with those.
And they say that 11 of them have been completed. And they include eradicating any funding for gender-affirming health care. We know that that's happening. Erasing any mention of LGBTQ plus inclusive language from federally funded groups. Reinterpreting federal anti-discrimination laws to exclude any protection for trans and non-binary individuals.
We've seen this happening day by day.
Yep. Now, they say those things have been completed.
Yep.
It's very scary. Three goals are in progress right now, and they involve continuing to deny federal funding to woke groups, prioritizing heterosexual families and children in government policies. This distresses me more than many of the other things that they did. Because the children will now suffer if they have gay parents.
Yes, and prosecuting librarians as sex offenders.
That's in the future.
Yeah,
that's future plan.
That's to come.
Not started yet.
Okay.
LGBT, anti-LGBT plus discrimination, prosecuting any pro-trans educators and librarians as sex offenders, ending Medicare reimbursement for gender-affirming surgeries. I mean, it goes on and on.
Yeah, and in fact, hospitals are threatening their own workers with prosecution if they continue to treat trans kids, something which, by the way, is not against the law.
No, it's not against the law.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are indulging ourselves with our conversations, and we're going to run out of time with 20 stories unreported. So I'm going to hopscotch here. Courts of appeals in federal courts of appeals in Oklahoma and Arkansas have denied challenges by parents and kids to the state's anti-trans youth treatment laws, and they're all saying, "Well, look what the Supreme Court did, Scrimeti."
Scrimeti.
So you can no longer. We're going to lose all those cases.
And then we have Nancy Mace,
and an appeals court has rejected the attempt to hold Trump in contempt for ignoring the court order not to fly people out of the country to the El Salvador prison. So he gets off on that one.
He gets off on that one, yeah.
Yes, no Medicare or Medicaid reimbursements for hospitals that treat trans youth. That is going to be... And the hospitals are bowing to this and are handing over these kids' records to the federal government. The amount of information on each of us personally that has been handed over to the DOGE people, to the government, everyone, it's just really terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Poor trans people in the military. We know they've all been ordered out of the military.
Right. No benefits.
Well, they were first told they would get benefits if they had served a certain amount of time, and they could choose to leave voluntarily, and they'd get a lump payment.
Yeah, they took that away. Or it seems like they're taking that
away. Well, we're not sure about that, but the benefit, the Air Force has announced that they're no longer offering benefits, post, you know, service benefits to people who leave voluntarily. That's over.
But so far, we think it's just the Air Force that said that.
So far, but and there still is a lawsuit for all the trans people to get back into the military and to get the benefits they deserve. But so far, the administration, of course, is playing hardball, as they do on all of this stuff. What else? Random fact. Women are being squeezed out of the workplace across the country. Just squeezed out of the workplace because they're not wanted, they're not supported, and this is very bad for the economy.
It's very bad for the economy.
Yeah.
It's bad
so
for family
keep your eye
structure.
On that.
It's,
yeah. The Department of Homeland Security is recruiting with this following slogan, which is about to appear on your television set.
Oh, I just love it.
Say, serve your country, defend your culture. No undergraduate degree required. Defend your culture. This is an overt statement of white supremacy.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Meanwhile, Tim Miller, who you may see a lot on MSNBC, he's at the Bulwark, and he interviewed Andre Hernandez Romero, the out gay hairdresser on the right there, who was just finally released back to Venezuela,
Venezuela.
Had fled seeking asylum here, but now he's a hero in Venezuela.
He's a hero in Venezuela, and he's such a kind and loving person that his statements are, I'll paraphrase here, but he said what he'd say to the people and to President Trump is, and everyone watching, is to be more empathetic after his horrible treatment. He wants us to be more humane. We can't make firewood from a fallen tree, he says.
And they bonded all these 252 prisoners who were sent to El Salvador, bonded and are still in touch with each other.
Yes, and he said he'd help them with hair and getting themselves back together after they left the prison.
So Tim Miller interviewed him, and we will link to that interview in the weekly show note. If you're not getting it, go to gayusatv.org and sign up to get the weekly show notice. Just one email a week. It alerts you to what's on the show that week, and it adds a lot of extras, like the link to the interview.
It's really worth watching the whole interview.
Yes, it is, and we don't have time for it here, and it's mostly in Spanish with subtitles, and so that's not going to work for our podcast listeners. The Department of Justice is asking the Supreme Court to overturn a lower court ruling and let them grab people off the streets for deportation by how they look, the language they're speaking, and the work they're doing. Now, if that isn't racial profiling, I don't know what it is.
It's definitely racial profiling. And not only that, but it's just inhuman. It's just...
Well, and it's no due process. No. It is absolutely no due
process. Habeas corpus means nothing. You know that.
Didn't that disappear somewhere?
It disappeared on the website.
Tell us that.
So, on the Constitution website, there are sections that seem to be missing. One of the sections is no title of nobility. The other section is habeas corpus. Now, the Library of Congress, through their Blue Sky account, said this was a coding error. I suggest we all watch for the correction of this coding error, because no title of nobility shall be granted by the United States to any person holding any office. No king, no prince, and we know that's where the Orange Menace is going. We also have to consider habeas corpus, which is already in the toilet. There's no due process. There's no telling people what they're being detained for.
He's just chipping away at the Constitution behind our back.
Well, now it's a coding error, so I'm going to be interested to watch that and see.
And the Constitution, for all its flaws, and it was partly written by one of my ancestors.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Was he a white man?
Yes, he was.
Of course he was. For all its flaws, it's a strong
better
document.
Than anything else.
Yes,
we
it
have.
Is. Absolutely.
The State Department is removing LGBTQ people from its annual human rights report.
Of course
things
it is.
Are disappearing all around
yes,
us.
Yes, it is.
And a poor gay guy from Jamaica who had been shot 10 times in Jamaica came here applying for asylum.
I saw that article.
He was arrested by ICE.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, exactly.
Well, then the lesbian couple on the roadside in Virginia.
Yeah, hold on one second. All right, I got that and that. And, you want to go Virginia? Wait. I think before we get to that, we usually hold off on the violence stories
okay,
a little
let's
bit.
Let's do that.
But we talked about...
Who's running for office, Anne?
Nancy Mace is running for Senate from South Carolina. And brilliant Nancy has discovered that the way to get elected anywhere in this country, evidently, is transphobia. So she's out there pounding her transphobic messages day after day.
Anything else on her?
She's just an idiot. Sherrod Brown, thank God, is running again for the Senate from Ohio. He was always my first choice for president. I'm so sorry he never became president. He would have been, the United States would
and
have been.
And explain to me what it means for him to be running. Like, what is the possibility?
We're scared about whether we can take the Senate. And the fact that he is stepping up to run when he has already won the Senate seat three times, and then he lost last time to some Trump right-wing guy who he will be running against, or maybe he's running against a new guy anyway. Given what we hope will be a Democratic wave next year in the midterms, we need strong candidates like Sherrod Brown to run for the Senate and give us that extra little bit of possibility of taking back the seat. And the same is true in North Carolina, where Roy Cooper, who was an excellent Democratic governor, has decided to step up and run for the Senate. So this is very good news
that's
for
very
both
good
of
news.
Them.
I'm interested in this guy that's running on Long Island, Chris Gallant.
Or Gallant, I don't know.
36 years old, native of Long Island, Black Hawk pilot, Army veteran, National Guardsman, former air traffic controller, union leader, volunteer firefighter. He's a gay man.
And he's a Democrat.
And a Democrat. However, he does confess to having voted on both sides of the aisle.
Damn him.
I'm a little concerned about that particular thing. I haven't met the guy, but...
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't want to elect more Kyrsten Sinemas to...
No. I haven't met him yet. I intend to.
All right, let
we'll
us know what he says.
I sure will.
He's running against Nick LaLota.
Who
is a fairly entrenched Republican.
Yeah, he is.
But we'll see.
It'd be lovely to be able to turn that seat if he's as good as he sounds on paper. We'll see.
Yes. Oh, by the way, something I overlooked earlier. See, that's how we operate here. If you come across something you forgot, you can
feeling
throw it.
Totally relaxed here, Ann. It's good. All good.
The Republicans in Congress have proposed the SAVE Act, S-A-V-E. And if it passes, women who are married cannot vote if they have taken their husband's name, because, of course, their name will not match their birth certificate. Where have we heard this before?
In
this
trans lives, that's all.
This is how the Republicans want to stop women from voting. So they're saying either you have to change your birth certificate, imagine that.
Can't do that.
Or change your name back to your birth name.
Don't take your husband's name.
Yeah. All right. That was just a digression.
An important one, though.
Yes.
People aren't aware.
No. So in Georgia, prisons are halting all treatment for trans prisoners. Of course, if you're a cis person and you need those hormones, you can take them.
You can take them.
Yeah, the same hormones. You just can't take them if you're trans. Prisoners are suing. They're calling this cruel and unusual punishment. They say this increases the suicide risk. And speaking of prisons, George Santos, I'm glad Andy isn't here because every time I mention George Santos, he gets upset. We don't want to hear from him. Well, George Santos has now spent a couple of weeks in prison, and he, you know what he says? It's dehumanizing.
You know, I live in the district that he was in charge of. I know.
I appreciate his insight.
And he made Tom Suozzi look good.
All right. In Alabama, in Ella City, parents are suing the Board of Ed there and two ex-principals for ignoring the bullying of a trans teen who at 14 committed suicide.
Suicide, yeah.
The school didn't supply bullying complaint forms they were supposed to, refused the parents' request to have the kid transferred.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Hate.
We're going to keep the kid here and just punish
bully
them?
Bully the shit out of him.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Yeah, easy. and then the school officials ridiculed the kid in front of and their attempts to self-harm in front of 50 students.
They said, try better next time or something like that. Right?
And they did. They committed suicide the next day.
And the parents are.
Yeah. In Brevard County, Florida, at Satellite High School, the Florida Commissioner of Education has rejected the settlement with the teacher, Melissa Calhoun, who had the effrontery to call a kid by their preferred name, because she hadn't checked with the parents, and the parents got upset. The kid was fine.
Right?
Everything was fine. So now they won't rehire her until she serves the 1 year of probation. These are protesters outside the school complaining that she has just been railroaded, which she
has. Well, it's good that the protesters are on her side.
There are a lot of protesters out there. This country, you know, people are concerned about what's happening in this country. We all are. But there is so much protest.
I'm in the street all the time, you know.
Exactly. So I am optimistic about the midterms next year because as much as they will try to rig them and manipulate the system and prevent women from voting and all, I believe that a critical mass of people on our side, if I may say so, are angry enough and just angrier every day about all this that they will get out and vote and do things. Please. If you are wondering what to do, do something. Now is the time.
And I want to point out that if between 3% and 5% of the overall population shows out to protest, they say that's the magic number to actually get some attention to
exactly.
those things. So if you think that you're going out into the street means nothing, it's not true.
No.
It's not true. Get out there. Join your comrades who think like you. Protect our country.
Well, I have recommended before the documentary that is available online at pbs.org in their American Experience series, The Movement and the Madman, which is about 1969 and the critical mass of hundreds of thousands of people growing in the streets against Richard Nixon. Mm. I was there.
Yeah.
And it's so moving to see people stand up and come out peacefully, just crowds in the streets.
That's right.
And that critical mass is enough to make change.
It is. It really is. Get out there.
And we all is not lost. Our Governor Maura Healey in Massachusetts, out lesbian, former Attorney General of Massachusetts, has signed a new SHIELD law for abortion rights and trans kids' health care.
It's a great law.
It is. And Governor Healey is a great governor. And yes, now a terrible story from Virginia in Spotsylvania. A lesbian couple had car trouble.
Yeah.
And
this is a terrible story.
Stood by the side of the road waiting for help. And they thought a guy coming out of his house nearby was
going to
help.
Going to help them, but he didn't help them.
They were brutally attacked by three white racists. They were chased. They had bad injuries. And they arrested people for this and charged them with misdemeanors.
I mean, look at that poor woman.
Yeah, terrible.
Then they had a car accident on top of it trying to get away.
Yes, exactly. All right, moving on to international news. You have anything else there we should be doing?
Well, I would like to mention Zohran Mamdani here in New York.
Okay, but as you know, we have limited time.
Okay,
so
just real quickly, boom. Andrew Cuomo is desperate. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, he's,
we can move on now.
He's going after Mamdani and saying, because you were born in Uganda and you're not condemning Uganda for its anti-LGBTQ stuff, you're a terrible person and anti-LGBTQ, which is laughable because Mamdani is totally pro-LGBTQ.
And he shows up for everything.
And Cuomo, who likes to take credit for marriage equality in New York, was against it for years and years.
That's right. And I just want to point out real quick before we move on that the Stonewall Democrats did invite Andrew Cuomo to our mayoral forum, and he didn't even respond. So there's that. Okay, next.
He's too arrogant.
He's too arrogant.
Okay, international news. In Indonesia, two men, 20 and 21, were arrested for, they were found kissing in a restroom. There they are in orange, handcuffed, being led away in Indonesia. They have been sentenced to being caned 80 times each. 10 times could probably kill you. It is so terrible. Now, their sentence was reduced from 85 canings to 80 because they were polite in court and had already served 4 months in prison.
So they get 5 canings
less.
Less.
If they
that could kill you.
If they survive, that is terrible.
Mm, terrible.
All right. In Ghana, the parliament is again considering a human sexual rights and family values bill. This will impose longer prison terms for gay sex and criminalize, the old Russian thing, promotion of homosexuality. The current law expired a year ago because the president would not assent to something new, but now the parliament is working to pass it. But there is a lot of indigenous local pushback by
there
local
is.
Leaders.
There is.
A big profile of one of them in the Times this week.
And that's what I was reading about this African chief.
Yeah, Davis Makiala. All right. In Scotland?
Oh, the former First Minister Nicola Sturgeon has opened up about, it's not her sexuality in a new memoir, it's sexuality, generally, and is the way I read it,
it's
right?
It's a little ambiguous, but yeah. I mean, so, she left open the possibility that there she is saying, choose love in the T-shirt in the middle
there. She said
there.
She's a supporter of LGBT rights. She passed marriage equality there in 2014, sought to pass gender-affirming care, which got blocked by the Conservatives. She views gender as non-binary. That's her statement. There's no indication she's anything but straight, but she
was lied about as having a big lesbian affair. But she didn't, you know, freak out about it or say, how dare you? She just said, well, you know, sex is not binary. Right. And so she has this new book called Frankly, which is supposed to be a good read. Speaking of reading, J.K. Rowling is still at it. Attacking
she's still
trans
at it. There was a woman and her teenage daughter went into a store in the UK, and a trans woman was waiting on them. And the woman claims that her child was freaked out and her child was damaged by this.
It was the lingerie department.
It was the lingerie department, and this person is not qualified, and yada, yada. And J.K. Rowling, of course, had to have something to say. And she says, it's time for women to vote with their wallets. I agree, but I don't think that we agree on voting on the same thing.
She wants trans women not to have jobs.
Have jobs or anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in opposition to that, in South Korea, exciting news, a big K-pop star named Cherry has come out as trans. She says she had to take her time about it because she was a little scared, but she has now step forward, and coming out as trans, especially as a K-pop star in South Korea, is not
very brave,
not common. So congratulations.
She's
to
very
her.
Brave.
Yep. AIDS and health news.
Or, sure.
Okay.
This is I love these two stories. RFK Jr.
What a guy.
What a guy. Could
we have a lovely picture of him from the cover of Time magazine.
On the cover of Time. I think it's perfect.
It's brain worms coming out of his head.
Yes. He wants to stop the federal funding for the mRNA vaccine research. So far, this research is proving to have some effect against HIV.
Well, it worked in COVID, too. And I think that, you know, people, when you say vaccine, I think people think preventive. It won't. You use the vaccine, you won't get whatever it is. But in fact, vaccines are more commonly used to ameliorate conditions, to make them less terrible. A lot of people survived COVID because they had been vaccinated. It wasn't that they didn't get it; it's just that they had a milder case.
That's right. And I think that it's worth continuing the research. Of course, we think that, and of course, that's why he's going to cut it.
On this show, I've spent many years being a skeptic about predictions of HIV vaccines. I just think they've been on the wrong path and have been claiming victories that they couldn't.
That might be so, but it's not.
But they're seeing some positive results now with some various vaccines, and the mRNA vaccines that they're trying on HIV have produced an immune response, which is significant.
And it's worth continuing, which is why, of course, he's going to take $500 million away from it.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right. Are we on to entertainment news?
We are.
Okay.
We are.
Well, we lost an important Broadway theater leader, Jack Batman, age 81. That's him on the left there. He was a Broadway producer. He started as an actor and a stagehand and a director, and he did a million different things, but ended up as a producer. He won a couple of Tonys for producing Clyburn Park on Broadway and a revival of Pippin. He's survived by his husband of 50 years. Well, they were together for 50 years, of course. They couldn't get married.
I'm sure they destroyed some communities by being together for 50 years.
You and Sheila have been together a long
It'll
time.
It'll be 30 years this October,
Amazing. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
His surviving husband is Sidney Burgoyne. He produced most recently the George Clooney show, Good Night and Good Luck, on Broadway. And John Proctor is the villain, which is the takeoff on the Arthur Miller Salem witch trials,
My daughter would be embarrassed by me for not having that answer for you, Anne.
He also produced Titanic, the musical. He won so many awards around the world, in country after country, running a lot of awards in the UK. He was a huge, important factor on Broadway.
And he had a husband. Imagine that.
Shocking. On Broadway.
I'm excited about this, Honey Don't.
Oh, man, our pal Tricia Cook, who is a longtime activist and and has worked with her husband, Ethan Cohn, on a number of movies. She was the film editor on The Big Lebowski.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. She's also a member of Gays Against Guns, which I'm a member of as well.
And Rise and Resist.
And Rise and Resist. Oh, and she's in the streets with
fantastic.
Us often. Trisha, we're so proud of you.
So Trisha is the co-writer with Ethan of this new movie, Honey Don't. They made another lesbian comedy
yeah,
a couple of years ago. And this one got Honey Don't is a raunchy lesbian detective comedy. It got a 6-minute standing ovation at
Cannes.
Amazing. Unbelievable.
Amazing.
The tagline on the poster there was, she only had two desires, and one of them is justice. So, this movie stars Margaret Qualley and Aubrey Plaza.
Amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Opens in theaters around the country on August
22nd.
Mark your calendars.
Amazing.
And then I saw something, I know you didn't because you don't watch trash like this that I do, on Bravo. There are a couple of guys, Bowen Yang, who you know from Saturday Night Live, and Matt Rogers, who do a podcast called Las Culturistas, which is amusing. So they did this special culture awards show, which was just comedy on Bravo. And it really was pretty funny. And I don't have a lot of patience for a lot of these things, but they did a good job. My favorite part was, instead of having an in memoriam section, they had an in absentia section for all the people who didn't show up.
I'm going to have to watch it. I don't usually watch Bravo, but I have to watch
that. Well, it's available on demand and probably on Hulu. I think that's where Bravo puts its shows.
I did watch the show that you talked about a couple weeks ago on Netflix. There's a rich woman and her husband. He wants to run for governor.
Yes,
I don't remember the name of it right now.
Hunting Wives.
The Hunting Wives. Yes. I've been watching that. I think I have 2 episodes left to watch.
Totally ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous, but
I love the fact
kind
that
Brittany
Snow is in it.
Oh,
Who played a sort of lesbian wannabe in Pitch Perfect.
In Pitch Perfect, exactly. I've been watching it. I thought it's really...
You're not the first person to tell me that, so great. And we want to congratulate Jen Powell, the first woman to umpire Major League Games. Now, we don't know anything about her sexuality, but it's
10 seconds.
No, I think we're going a little...
Oh, no, we have another minute. I'm sorry. That's
yes.
Right.
You know, the NBA and the NFL have had women referees and umpires on the courts on NBA games, NFL games. You see women umpiring and refereeing. But Major League Baseball has always resisted.
They finally caught up, huh?
There have been a number of... female umpires, but they have not made it to the major leagues. And there are women in the front office in baseball. But Jen Powell is the only one who has... I'm trying to see where I put the note about the time. Oh, you have it here. 59:38.
We have 20 seconds. Yeah.
So congratulations to her. This is a breakthrough, and women may not be able to vote soon.
But they can umpire a baseball game. And this has been so much fun.
It's been terrific. Thank you, Kathy.
No problem.
I'm sure we will see you back here very soon.
Oh, I look forward to it.
But Andy will be back next week, so we'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you so much.